Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, 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 bring them out,
bring them out. Woo. Oh. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you on a Wednesday morning. Hope that you're going to have a great day. And good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, we appreciate you keeping the conversation going. Brought to you by DraftKings. Phone lines over for you. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. I know, Cap, that you listen to the station as much as I do. When we're off the air, the thing that people don't realize is, yes, we have fun every morning talking sports and everything else that comes along with this show from 7 to 10. When we get in our cars, though, we are what we are always, and that is a sports radio listener, mm-hmm. an ESPN 1000 listener.
Correct.
All right, so what's next? What's Greeny going to talk about? All right, here's Carmen and Yurko. Here's Waddle and Sylvie. Here's Bleck and Up Dollars. Freddie and Fitzsimmons. They all have different ideas and takes and angles on the stuff that we've talked about and everyone's talking about in Chicago sports. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get a lot of the same conjecture and thoughts from some that will call into our shows. And they'll say, well, you know, when I see Justin Fields as a quarterback for this football team, I don't necessarily see a quarterback. I see a running back. I don't see a guy that can be able to hang in the pocket and be able to throw down the field. I'm not sure if we're going to see the best of Justin Fields. Is this it? From the games that we saw from Justin Fields, is this all that we're going to see? And I know that you've had some of these calls that have bubbled up into the surface saying, well, Cap, well, Yurko, well, you know, Carmen, Sylvie, here's what we see here. A guy that runs with the football, but he's never going to be a quote-unquote quarterback. We hear that a lot, do we not?
We do, and I've got, a bunch of friends that I text with and have fun with talking sports, and I got more than one. Dude, just move him to running back and go get another quarterback. And I think that's just such a stupid take.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their offense because it was the only way they could be competitive this year with the lousy-ass roster we've got.
Right.
All right, what's the best way for the 53 guys to have a chance when they come to work to maybe win a football game? And so they got Justin out on the edge. They let him use his feet. It's been an ongoing process. We need you to get down faster. We need you to get out of bounds and stop taking so many hits. I think he was getting hit more in the pocket than he was getting hit when he ran once he got comfortable sliding and getting out of bounds.
For some of us that remember Bobby Douglas, the former Bears quarterback, he ran for his life because he had to because of a bad offensive line. And you see the numbers that he put up as a Bears quarterback. He had to run. It is commonplace now, if you watch a lot of college football, and definitely in the NFL, where you have running quarterbacks, the dual threat. Not a guy that's just going to stand there like a statue and hope to be able to get it done in three downs, but also someone that can be able to move the chains with their legs. So, in front of us, I'm going to hand you 2021, and I have 2022. Can I put this into evidence, Your Honor?
You may. Hold on. Let me get my reading glasses.
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million for the great Howard Aiken.
I will give you Exhibit A, Your Honor, and I'll have Exhibit B. So, what we have in front of us is the rushing yards for quarterbacks in the NFL. What do you have from last year as far as the leaders?
The 2021 season leaders. Jalen Hurts played in 15 of the 16. Was it 17 games last year or 16?
I think it was 17, I believe.
It was 17 last year, the first year. Okay. Yeah. Jalen Hurts played 15 of 17, ran for 784 yards. Lamar Jackson, second, 767. Josh Allen, 763. And then a precipitous drop down to 423 for Kyler Murray, 420 for Justin Fields.
Now, again, you take a look at this being commonplace in the NFL in which you have dual-threat quarterbacks. Now, some would say, well, Cap, you gave me that list from last year. Now, who's winning a Super Bowl? Well, this is the upper echelon or quarterbacks are on the come that you read for us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Young quarterbacks are on the come.
Yep.
In 2022, I think we all know that Justin Fields, and this is through 11 games, right, Shay? So we're through 11 games for this list. Justin Fields, rushing yards at 834. Lamar Jackson is at 755. Jalen Hurts at 597. Josh Allen, followed by Daniel Jones, Mariota, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Geno Smith. Those are the top rushing quarterbacks in the NFL. My point is that when we get these calls, and we've had them on this show as well, that, well, if there's a quarterback that's on the run, he's not really playing quarterback. That's not true. It is today, and this is a comment that was made by Tirico and Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. I was watching the game. Toward the end of the third quarter, into the fourth, what was it called in television, the two-shot back mm-hmm. into the So there's, and Tirico turns to Collinsworth and says, well, do you need a running quarterback in the NFL? And Collinsworth says, well, you actually have to have that on your roster today because things have changed in the National Football League. It is best that you be able to draft or find one via free agency that can be able to do both things. Shane, is that to me, when I heard that, I said, well, that is validation for what's going on today as far as teams picking a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is always cyclical, and now we were in the pocket passer era for seemingly 30 years. Now it feels like everybody's in the mobile quarterback era, and I think we'll see it continue to evolve, but it does feel like they're right in that if you're not getting a quarterback that can move at least a little bit, you're behind the eight ball.
So that, what do you think of that, Cap? Because, again, I'm just trying to douse the flames of, well, you know, this guy, all he does is run with the football, but can he play quarterback? Well, that's part of it today.
The game has evolved. I said to you upstairs, if I had told you a basketball guy, or you had told me a guy who recruited and coached basketball players, hey, man, we're going to spread the court and shoot threes. Who does Golden State have that you go, that's a low post, dump it inside, kick it back out type guy? That they get the bulk of their points scoring down on the block.
Right. It doesn't happen today.
No, you need a guy, whoever it is, down there you could pass into, and then he passes it back out,
mm-hmm.
and you get better looks that way.
Yeah.
But if you can't make jump shots, you can't win. And if you had told me 20 years ago the game is going to change where three-point shots going to be basically the butter of a really good team's offense, I would never have believed it.
Right. And here we are.
And here we are in the NFL now. It used to be classic drop back. He wears number 12.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, he's white. Mm-hmm. And he's going to stand back in the pocket. And you're going to put two big, huge guys to protect him. And he's going to have four really good receivers. He's going to, I got to read one, read two, read. I'm going back over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it is today.
No. It's faster action, Shay, that you have now where, you know, yes, you need to be able to read and be able to react to your wide receivers. But at the same time, if it ain't there, you just don't have time anymore.
How many years did we go? You know better than anyone. How many years did we go? Nah, black quarterbacks. There were articles.
Oh, my God, no.
Written about black quarterbacks.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, think about what stupidity that was.
Well, people were not ready for something new and fresh. I mean, when you have a reporter. And Shay, you're too young to remember this. When a reporter asked Doug Williams, how long have you been a black quarterback? All my life. I've been black all my life, so I've been a black quarterback all my life. That a question is because people couldn't handle something different at the position. When Randall Cunningham came in vogue with the Philadelphia Eagles,
bingo.
And to see him be able to be long and athletic like a basketball player, but yet had the ability to move around with his legs, like, wait a minute now. Why is this guy moving around so much? Why is he so jittery? He can't play the position. No, he can. He's just doing it differently.
Dante Culpepper.
Yeah. He was huge.
Yeah.
He was like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Well, even Joe Burrow. I mean, there's like got to be a middle ground, I think, still, because we look at these quarterbacks and go, yeah, they run now, they move around. I don't think that means you give Justin Fields 20, 25 carries every week, because you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, who is a pocket passer, he can still move a little bit. It's not like he's a statue. He's not Tony Romo in a phone booth. He can get a first down with his legs if he needs to. You want a guy who's able to be mobile, doesn't necessarily need to rely on it 20 times a game.
Okay, so here's the other side of this. Because someone will tell us this morning, either on Twitch or on the phone lines at 312-332-3776. Cap, there will be someone that will say to us, well, look at the list of quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl. Have they been mobile quarterbacks to the point where they make that's the big difference in the game? Like, say, for instance, the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year with Jalen Hurts. Now, we've seen him be able to do both. We just saw him on Sunday Night Football, didn't we?
Yeah.
Move around.
Ran for over 100.
Yeah. I mean, do you want your quarterback to be a moving target at all times? No. But that's part of the game today. But what if the Eagles win the Super Bowl and he's the guy that's running with the football?
The copycat league, when the Bears won with the 46, how many teams tried to play the 46?
Everybody wanted that.
Correct. The problem was they didn't have Dent, Hampton, Perry, and McMichael up front, with Otis, Singletary, and Rivera, and then four lockdown guys in the defensive back. They didn't have that.
Right.
That was the key, was up front.
People, but there are some, though, Cap, especially in this era still, that will look at Tom Brady, for instance, one of the greatest winner that we've seen at the quarterback position. He broke away from the Montana versus Elway debate, who's better, who's best. And Brady's like, all right, you know what? You guys think you're great? Hold my beer. How about all these championships that I've won?
Right.
He's been that classic quarterback that you've been talking about. And I think there's some general managers today that still wish they had a Brady-type guy that was not running all over the field. There's always this push and pull with that, but I think that we're coming into where Fields is. And the reason why we're talking about this morning is because of what people are saying regarding Justin Fields, how he runs with the football so often. Is that good for the Bears' future? I think that's a part of it. But I still say, Cap, there's going to be development and growth in Fields in which he won't have to run the football. It's growth in him, but also growth in the ball club, where he'll be protected, where he doesn't have to run, you know, for 20 carries for 100 yards.
Agreed, but it'll still be part of their repertoire, yeah, their offense, because he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to take away a skill set?
Right.
Boy, I wish we had a guy that just stood back there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he have to get better reading defenses? Yes.
Sure.
He's in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have to get better at being accurate on some of his deep throws? Yes. He's in his second year. But why would I go, boy, I wish I could keep that guy just back in the pot? He's elite with his feet. Why would I not want that?
That's exactly right. And that's how the league has evolved. Hey, who didn't want Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning, Tom Brady, we talked about Kurt Warner, guys that were winners, Super Bowl champion winners. But the position has evolved.
But if you put any of those guys you mentioned behind the rickety offensive line with the lack of separation type wide receivers we have, they wouldn't look like they did.
No.
Great talents. Mm. They'd be on their ass.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yes. Right. This is what chased Steve Young out of the league, because the offensive line was so bad. Yeah, I mean, all the concussions he had is because the offensive line was so horrible.
Right.
So the question that we want to ask you, again, let's open the phone line, Shay, 312-332, ESPN 332-3776. Cap and I want to talk to you about the style of play for Justin Fields and whether or not you feel it's sustainable. Some push back and say, I want this guy to be more of a classic pocket passer along with the running. We want to find out how you feel about it because, hey, why is he on the shelf right now? It's because he tried to help the Bears win. He's got a busted wing because he tried to help the Bears win. And also the lack of imagination from the offensive coordinator Luke Getsy in that spot.
I don't know if it's lack of imagination. I mean, he looks at his play sheet and goes, what the hell you want me to call here?
Something.
I don't put it on Getsy at all. I think he's done a magnificent job.
I think in that fourth quarter, Cap, when the game's on the line again, and what you wrote said, let's go with Fields running twice. No mixture there, nothing else.
What are you going to do? You drop him back, he gets hit.
I mean, not every time, though. I mean, this is why Komet's been able to flourish this year.
Yeah, a lot of it, though, was just on the move and then making the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the second run, that was not called by Getsy.
Yeah.
Remember, Eberflus came out and said that was actually a handoff to Montgomery and the play got screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin just took off.
Yes. Running for his life.
Yeah, that was the one where he dove forward. The first one was where it was a designed run play. I also have another interesting question for you.
Another one?
Yeah. We'll get to it.
It'll be the first one this morning.
Get to it. Let's start with what you got.
All right. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Cap and I want to talk to you about Justin Fields and the style of play that he has. How do you feel about the way he plays on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show? You. Hope that you have a great day. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
Hello, Twitch.
Hello, fine. Birdiesbookbank.org. $1. Thank you very much. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Mic off. Brought to you by DraftKings. Now time for Shot or No Shot. It's brought to you by
Hawthorne Racecourse. Register to win $12,000 cash on January 1st at any club Hawthorne betting bar. Good morning, Secretariat. Hope you are well today in the barn. Hope it's a nice day for you. The hay is tasty. And PointsBet Sportsbook. Download their updated app.
What? Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Cap, your odes to Secretariat lately have been absolutely destroying me. When I was off a couple weeks ago and you said, good luck with the laminitis, kid, I lost my mind in the car.
And laminitis is the separating of the hoof from the hoof wall. Yes. Very painful.
Yes.
And incurable.
Very painful, like you trying to separate your pocket from a dollar. Very painful.
All right. Really? We're going to do this now?
Mic's off. $1, BerniesBookBank.org. You're gonna not pay and help the kids get books for the Christmas?
Right here. There's a freaking dollar right there.
Here's Shane.
I think all this money in this cup, and there's a lot of it. Twitch, look at how much is in there. That's all mine.
Here's Shane Dorland.
We're going to bankrupt you. All right, boys, let's get with Shot or No Shot. I want to ask about the NFC North. It's at kind of an interesting crossroads. The Packers appear to finally be on the decline after about 30 years of sustained success. Mm-hmm. The Vikings, while peaking right now, are a perennial also-ran, while the Bears and Lions are both building towards bright futures. However, the Bears are the only team in the division with a franchise quarterback on a rookie contract. So Shot or No Shot, the Bears have the brightest future in the NFC North.
Okay, so the Vikings are win now. Let's do this together instead of separately this time.
Okay.
Vikings are to win now. Whatever you think of Kirk Cousins, they're trying to win now, correct?
They are in a win now mode, correct. Dalvin Cook's a veteran. Justin Jefferson's now, you know, into his career. Thielen, yeah. Hockenson, they just paid capital for.
It's like win or bust. That's what's happening. Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Again, he's hurt, but you know he's in the autumn of his career.
Right. They're going in the wrong direction.
Okay. Lions. You're higher on the Lions than I am.
Lions have a lot of talent, man. A lot. And if they make the right astute move, they have two first-round picks that they could both be in the top 10 by the time we're done.
And then there's the Bears.
And then there's the Bear. We have our quarterback. Beyond that, I don't know.
So it's a no shot. It's a no shot because of
Hoodie.
Well, it was because of the great unknown, Shay. That's why, right? So as much as I laud the draft capital and the amount of free agent money that is available for the Bears, I don't know how they're going to spend it. I don't know who they're going to pick.
Right. Because if we go back 8 years ago when Ryan Pace rolled in here, well, they've got a high pick and they've got capital. He didn't do anything with it. He works for Atlanta now.
Right. So here's the thing. Put this in your phone for 12 months from now. Ask that question again. Because when we get to close to December 1st, let's ask, okay, where are the Bears now? They spent a little bit on free agency. They'll probably have some draft picks that you have to cultivate and mold and shape. And then now next year, the following year, I expect them to be a perennial winner starting next year.
Yeah, I think
2024. That's what I mean. In 2024.
Yes, I don't. Snorling has them like they could. I don't want to speak for you. Did you say they could win 10 games next year?
I said yeah. Why not?
You said they should win 10.
9-10 wins next year. Yeah, why not?
Because that would, because what Shea is saying, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Shea, you believe because of what we've been talking about, the draft picks and the amount of money they have to spend, they should go all in.
Yeah, I just think not go all in. I just think if you are unable to build a team that can improve by 3-4 wins next season, 5 or 6 even. I mean, we see it every year. If you look at the pathway the Eagles took, and I brought this up this morning in the meeting, 4-11 in 2020, 9-7 last year, you make the playoffs, and then this year you're ready to go. Bang. It's win now time. I feel like that's the pathway. In the NFL, it doesn't take 3-4 years. This isn't Major League Baseball. You don't need your guys to be in a slow cooker. You can get them up and go.
Shea, go back 2 years and look at the Eagles roster from 2 years ago. They had to develop their quarterback. They've done a nice job there.
Yes, yes.
They added A.J. Brown. They drafted Devontae Smith the same year that the Fields draft was. Go back and look at all the guys they had on that offensive line, on that defense, Fletcher Cox and all these. We don't have any of those guys. Stop yourself.
But what Shea's saying is,
wins
what Shea's saying is that you say not go all in, but the way to get to 5 or 6 more wins, Shea, is to be able to spend a lot in free agency and get splash players. And again, you hope that you could be able to strike while the iron's hot with your draft picks. It just doesn't work that way for every NFL team.
Plus,
though,
you have to build the thing together. They have to learn how to play together.
Right, but Cap, the point that I'm making to you is, one, I'm setting where my expectations are. You're welcome to disagree. Everybody's welcome to disagree with me. The point I'm making is, I think you have an opportunity with the capital that you have, where we've seen it in the NFL, you can do it in an offseason, where you come out and you are able to contend for a playoff spot, right?
Yes.
The point I'm making is this. This front office has a chance to do that. If they go out and make a lot of moves and nothing is right, they whiff on all of them, that's a problem. And that's where my expectation is going to be: win 8, 9, 10 games, compete for a playoff spot come next December. And if we come to next December and everything you've done this past offseason didn't work, we're going to have a different conversation. Because I just don't think you have the time. Justin Fields is going to have a fifth-year option and come up for a contract extension in just 3 seasons. You don't have time to keep wasting seasons on development. This isn't Major League Baseball. You can turn the ship around quickly.
Yeah. I don't see a scenario where this is a 10 win. He said 10 in our meeting.
I mean, 7 more wins than what you have right now.
No shot. I mean, that team...
Now, obviously not without talent, obviously. But again, to get to that 10-win mark, that means that you have to make major splashes in free agency. Guys that can help you today.
And in trades. And you also are forgetting that Eagles team that you're lauding from 2020 that went 4-11-1, they won the Super Bowl in 2018. There are a lot of good players there.
Shea.
They won 4 games, man.
They won the Super Bowl.
What about? And I'm not saying that the Bears are the Bengals, but what about the Bengals? You go from 3-13 to 13-3-1, and or 13-4, and you go to the Super Bowl.
And again, they got the 3rd pick. They got a star, Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. The number 1 pick, Joe Burrow. Amazing. They've got.
Okay, so you're going to have a first round quarterback, and guess what pick you're going to get this offseason, too?
Again, they have more talent on their roster than the Bears.
They do now, but they didn't then. My point is you can put the talent on the roster.
Not in 1 year. You can't. Can't do it. Disagree.
Let's move on, boys. The Bears. Oh, this is actually a pretty fitting question.
What about the Bengals? Right?
Right.
What about the like, they got there. They didn't win it, Cap, but they got there.
Guy played with an exploded spleen, apparently.
Yes, exploded spleen and a bad offensive line. The Bengals. You can do it. Yes, you can. But my whole thing is it sustainable? Yes, you can. What Shea's scenario is a good scenario if you're all in, pushing all your chips in the middle of the table. We're going to get this guy. We're going to plug holes through free agency. And then if the draft comes, the draft comes. And all of a sudden, we lived a charmed season. You get that in the NFL.
But that's what Sylvie talks about. Pop up.
Right.
That's like the Jags. They spent all that money in that one offseason and it wasn't sustainable, and they ended up right back where they were.
I understand what you're saying, Shea, but I don't know in that way, is it sustainable? is a slow build better?
Well, I would like to build something. Ideally, you'd like to build something sustainable, like what Cincinnati has. And again, I'm not comparing roster to roster. Yeah. Cincinnati built something that is sustainable. I just believe that the Bears have an opportunity to go and do something similar. Maybe not to the same effect, and maybe not as rapid. But I don't think it needs to be 3 or 4 years the way Cap seems to talk about.
No, I said 24. They should be contending to win their division. 24, not 23.
I didn't say win the division. I said get a playoff spot. There's 7 wild card spots. You can't go win 9 games.
You said double-digit wins.
I said 9-10 wins, go get a wild card spot. It's the same deal.
I mean, I'm looking at that 2020 Eagles roster. There's a lot of damn good players there. That's why they fired their
coach. All right, we got to move on.
That's why they fired their coach.
They won 4 games. The Bears have a number of holes to fill this coming offseason and into future seasons as they try to build a championship-caliber team over the next few years. The biggest needs are an offensive tackle, wide receiver, edge rusher, and defensive tackle, but shot or no shot. The most important spot to fill is edge rusher.
No shot. Number one for me is stopping the run, a 3 technique or a left tackle on offensive line.
I disagree with Mark Potash this morning in the Sun Times. Here's the thing. He's right. We're all right because there's so many holes on the roster. But for me, it's the protection of Justin Fields. That's first for me. Sorry. I mean, if this thing is going to be an offensive juggernaut, if this is going to be an offensive team, something we haven't seen in a long time in this city, then I want protection for Fields, so that's on the offensive line. Left tackle or right tackle for me.
Yeah, it would either be a left tackle or a 3 technique run stopper, because you can't stop the run, you can't get off the field, you can't win.
I want the protection for him first, but here's the thing, that when you give that as a scenario, Shay, that's right too, but I'm just saying for me, it's the protection on the offensive line. That's what's best for me because, I mean, we talked in the first hour about the protection of Fields. Why does he run so much? Well, he's running for his life. When an offensive line, they can't hold their water at times. It's on Fields, too, sometimes because he holds the ball too long. But, again, that's part of the maturation that he's going through as a quarterback. Shay.
All right, I want to ask about Aaron Rodgers, who announced in the Pat McAfee show he will play this weekend. Take a listen to this.
Well, obviously, I think about the future all the time, a la Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future.
Hell yeah.
And also, you know, we're not eliminated. We got a chance to run the last 5 and see where we stand after that. So that's the focus for me. You know, I might miss practice Wednesday. Would not be a full contributor, but that's kind of been standard for the last, I don't know, 6-7 weeks. Go to my one of my favorite places to play down in Chicago and hopefully you know, get a big win, get into the bye week, get healthy, and
wish, pal.
See where we can get to.
I mean, he really is Cliff Clavin, isn't he? I mean, he's the guy from Cheers at the end of the bar. And go to Chicago, and one of my favorite places to play, as a matter of fact, like, a-hole.
One of his favorite places to play.
God almighty.
Well, that's why I want to ask this question, Hoodie. Shot or no shot? Getting a win against Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field is as important as ever this weekend.
Which part of me are you asking? The meatball me or just Jonathan Hood, just the football fan? I mean, the meatball me says beat the Packers as often as possible. Just won't happen on Sunday.
Yeah, again, the meatball me wants Justin to play, run, do whatever it takes, and find a way to beat their ass. Because their run is coming to an end, and I'd like that run to end on Sunday. The prudent thing, as I said earlier, Justin, we thank you for everything. Here's 2 first-class tickets. Take your girlfriend. Go on vacation. Cancun's beautiful this time of year. You want to go down to South Beach? Go lay on the beach and relax. Get healthy. See you in the spring.
So it's a no shot, Cap. Yeah, I'd like for that to happen, but I don't think it's likely. Shay.
All right, Team USA beat Iran yesterday and will play the Netherlands on Saturday at 9 a.m. in the first round of the knockout stage. USA beat Iran, though, 1-0 on the back of a Christian Pulisic goal where he sacrificed his nether regions and wound up hospitalized for abdominal pain. So my question, shot or no shot? Pulisic is proving soccer players are tough after all.
He is, but soccer players, that's a no shot.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the World Cup, and that's a long process for me over years to learn to appreciate the beautiful game of soccer. Yeah. I love it.
I love it, too. And I had the over in the corner kicks on DraftKings. Go ahead.
What was the number?
Never mind. Go ahead. Four. Go ahead.
I just had the straight bet on points bet on the Team USA. That said,
yeah,
I have never seen a sport where more guys hit the deck and they lay there like they've been shot with an elephant gun. Mm. I mean, it is embarrassing how they whine.
Yes.
Embarrassing.
Yes. Anything for the extra time.
But I am excited for Saturday morning, 9 a.m., right? I think we're at 9 Saturday.
9 a.m., that's correct.
With the Netherlands, I will be locked in with my coffee and ready to go.
I'll be watching. I watched yesterday. I've been watching it actually closely. You know, it's funny. When I was in New York, I was sitting at a bar. A guy named Jonathan, as a matter of fact, he was there. He had the first day of the World Cup. He's there. And he was just like, I'm so excited. I am so excited. I said, you're a soccer fan? He goes, oh, I live for this. Like the third, what is it, 30 days, 30, mm-hmm. 40 days? He's so into it. He was so happy and overjoyed that he could watch the World Cup on television every day when he's at work.
Every game is awesome. I've been watching all of it. It is outstanding.
One of my favorite events in sports. When USA's in it, too, I'm all in.
Now,
I go all out
if
for
Pulisic
it.
Can't play effectively because he got kicked in the family jewels.
He's got an iron rod. He's good.
And his tweet where he's laying in the hospital bed, so proud of my effing guys. Don't worry, I'll be ready for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go!
Absolutely.
Hearts and prayers, he put.
No, he's all good. All right, coming up next, what about these losses or wins for the Bears? How important is that for the Bears right now, wins or losses? Matt Eberflus gives the answer coming up next. And more of your phone calls on the Bears. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my.
Bears.
What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping.
Very horny.
Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Time for an animal story, Uncle Cappy.
Bring it on, little Johnny. I'm excited for this one. I haven't heard it. I want to hear what it is.
Nephew Shay has the animal story for us here on Cap and Jay Hoodie. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, Hoodie. Good morning, Cap.
Good morning, there, Eagles hater. What's up?
So this one comes from Turkey, the country of Turkey in Eastern Europe. A Turkish man who was out hunting over Thanksgiving weekend was loading equipment into his vehicle. His name, Özgür Gevrekoğlu, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably pronounced that exactly right.
Sure.
He was loading equipment into his vehicle on Sunday. His dog was loading into the vehicle at the same time. His dog stepped on his shotgun, killed him.
Wow. So they're loading the belongings into the vehicle?
Correct.
And he lays the shotgun down on the ground, and the dog steps on it, and it goes off.
Yep, dog steps on the shotgun, kills him. After being shot, he reportedly died before paramedics arrived. His body was taken to a hospital for an autopsy while police investigated. A human friend was initially arrested by police investigating the death, although according to the report, that person was later released. Authorities do not suspect any foul play.
No foul play, but the dog killed him.
First of all, man. What is the deal with needing an autopsy when you got shot to death?
Of course, you go...
The gun did the...
Of course.
Deed.
Of course, in a funny story like that, you go Quincy MD instead of looking at a dog killing his owner. You missed the funny right over your head.
I had already heard the funny.
You don't think that's it? You don't find that interesting?
As a man who owns three dogs.
Of course.
I'm trying to figure out I guess Sparky's big enough. Stanley's clumsy enough. Yoshi's not strong enough. To lay the gun down. Wow. I wonder if he was a complete jag to the dogs.
What do you mean? You think hold on. You think the dog did it on purpose?
I don't think the dog is sad if the owner was not a... What if the owner is a jag to his dog? Karma, man. It's karma.
Saying this is premeditated?
Maybe. Ooh. Wait a minute. What is that on the ground? That's not a... That's a gun. I can put all my misery to the side. I can take this jackass out right now.
Oh.
There are no dog jails.
You're not going to feed me, huh? How about this?
Water bowl's dry.
Bam!
Take that.
My owner's dead. Now I'll get my own food. Take that.
And I will get a much better home.
So you believe that this is going to be on Dateline. This is what's going to happen, Shay. The guy's going to be on Dateline.
Now, I felt bad for the poor fella. I want to make that clear.
Well, if he mistreated the dog, I don't.
You mean the dog?
Why would we think he mistreated the dog? I just think it's an ironic twist of fate.
I think
incredibly funny headline,
I think it's hilarious.
Honestly.
So you feel worse for the man or the dog?
The man, he's dead. Ah. It's hard not to feel worse for the guy who lost his life.
Again, if he was a jag to the dog, he got what was coming.
What evidence do we have to think that he was a jag to the dog?
What evidence do we have that he wasn't a jag to the dog?
Thank you, Charlie.
I think that's interesting. Like, so the gun is laying on the ground, right, Cap?
The gun is laying on the... Otherwise, how's the dog? But
he holds it up with his paw. Bam! Right to the heart.
Remember when you wouldn't feed me?
Bam! I just think that's hilarious. How does that happen?
That's unbelievable.
I need video. I mean, because if it's laying on the ground, what's Cap? I mean, to the leg? To the shin? If a dog just puts his leg there, right there on the trigger, bam, right?
But the barrel is laying
on the ground.
Unless he had the back hatch of the SUV open and the gun was laying at the mouth of the back end.
Yeah.
And the dog jumped up into the SUV back area.
Yeah.
And his paw landed on the gun and the barrel happened to be pointing out.
I think that's an important point. Like, wouldn't the gun would probably be laying on the ground?
Well, right. Well,
what kind of angle could we be working with here?
Shay, now, look, again, the gun's on the ground, correct?
I'm looking at another article to see if there's more details. It doesn't really... it's in the trunk of the car, so the dog stepped into the trunk of the car. So it may have been laying down, or the boot. I don't know. This is from the Mirror, the UK. I don't know what they... If that is the boot, the back seat. UK's got weird stuff for everything. Chips are crisps.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, that is true.
I don't know if the boot is the trunk or the back seat, but regardless, the still-loaded shotgun was loaded into the car boot, this article says.
Yes.
The dog is said to have stepped on the trigger with its paw.
Bam.
The owner was... This is incredible phrasing. The owner was then blasted at close range and killed instantly.
Wow.
We need a police officer. I know we got plenty of police officers that listen to our show.
Do you know what the lesson is? Is unload the gun before you do anything with it where you're not holding it.
Oh, right. Put a safety on the thing.
That's exactly right. I just like the idea, as Shay mentioned, a twist of fate in which the dog says, you know what? I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to get my revenge. I wanted water and you didn't feed me. Stanley. I don't have any water for you. You already had water, pal. Oh, really? How about this? Bam! Take that!
Now I'll get my own water.
I get my own water. Hi, I'm Stanley, and I'm here for the recap right here on YouTube. Now he gives his thoughts. He puts his paws up there, stands up on his hind legs, and gives his thoughts on YouTube. That's the recap. My owner's dead because he wouldn't give me water. Take that. So long, Cap. Bam! That's what he does.
You have issues.
What do you mean? Stanley wants his food. You won't feed him. Okay. How about this? Bam! So long, Cap.
So good.
Gone. And he puts on your clothes. Time for the recap. I'm Stanley. That's what would happen. You've been mean to me, yelling at me, saying I don't run fast enough. Well, you know what? How about this? Bam!
Stanley.
So long, everybody. And Cap's gone. How did Cap go? Stanley shot him.
His dog.
I also wonder, when they say the friend got arrested, this may just be a whole clever ploy by the friend. Because none of this adds up, right? You're loading the car. You're loading the gun in the car. You keep it loaded. Then the dog has the wherewithal and the force to pull the trigger on the gun while it's pointed directly
at you. Maybe the friend loaded the gun. The guy had actually thought it was unloaded.
Oh, you think the dog's being framed?
The dog's being framed by the friend.
I think we have to ask that question.
What is this piece of string that's tied around the dog's paw?
Oh, my God.
Here, want a treat?
Bam! Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. How do you phrase this, Shay? Like, who do you feel worse for, the man or the dog in this scenario?
Right.
I feel bad for the dog.
I do, too. He's been mistreated.
The guy lost his life. How do you not feel worse for the guy?
Because it's karma, man. He was mistreating that dog.
No way. The karma is you put the gun in without unloading it. That's the karma.
No, the karma is he was a jag to the dog, and the dog went, I've had enough.
So let's talk about that. Put that on the poll, see how it comes back. Coming up next, you know, the Bears clearly are going in the wrong direction. Are they tanking? Will it work? The Bears doing the right thing. We discuss it in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for keeping the conversation going on Twitch. Brought to you by DraftKings. We're with you until 10 o'clock. There'll be Mike Greenberg at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on a Wednesday here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So we clearly know, Cap, where the Bears are going. We have speculated that based on the rest of the schedule and based on maybe Justin Fields not playing, maybe for the rest of the season, that the Bears more than likely will not win another game. We knew that there was going to be a curve in the schedule. They're going to take on tough teams, Buffalo, the Eagles, Vikings. We kind of, I think when we made our predictions in August, we looked at and said, boy, December is going to be really tough. And I think that with or without Fields, it's going to be difficult for the Bears to win games.
The amazing thing to me is the number of people, like our caller that we had in the last segment, who truly look back and go, boy, if we could have hung on in that game, and if we didn't fumble in that game, and if we don't get the ball ripped away from Smith Marsette in this game, we're right there. And if we don't trade Roquan and Robert Quinn, oh my God.
Yeah.
Stop. It's a horrible, horrible team. It's part of their process. They picked this lane. They were hoping they would finish top three in the draft. They weren't expecting to go to the playoffs.
The NFL incentivizes tanking, Cap. They do it. And here's we have a number of examples of teams trying to lose, trying to be able to get a top draft pick. You and I talk often about the Bears against the Jaguars a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that game? Which the Jaguars, they were trying to lose that game right
in front
of us.
Literally at the end of the first half, literally. Didn't they go for it on fourth down so the Bears would be in field goal range?
Yes. Yes. It's exactly what happened. It was their own end.
Like, what are you doing?
It was their own end, maybe a 30.
Bears got an extra three and ended up winning the game by a billion.
Because they did that on purpose to get Trevor Lawrence, I believe, for that draft, right?
Might have been that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it happened also in 2014, when the Buccaneers removed roughly half of their starters at halftime of a Week 17 game against the Saints, which Tampa Bay led by double digits. The Saints came back and won that game, and the Buccaneers lost, and the Bucs secured dibs on the first pick in the 2015 draft. That happened to be Jameis Winston. So, and that happened. I heard Sean Payton talk about that on Colin Cowherd a couple days ago. He goes, we're just standing there and we're losing, and then Tampa just pulls their starters and we win that ball game because they did it on purpose. because they want to get the number one draft pick. And so we asked Albert Breer yesterday. Breer's with us every Tuesday at 8:35.
From Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com.
We asked Cap his thoughts about tanking. Does tanking work in the NFL? Listen.
It's a good question. You know, I think the problem with it, Hoodie, is that it has to be, like, in the right year. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so valuable to have one of these quarterbacks. But, I mean, you know, you look at the way that some of the best teams in the league got their quarterbacks, and it wasn't through tanking, you know. The Chiefs were a playoff team the year they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They just traded up to get him. The Bills were a playoff team the year they drafted Josh Allen. They traded up to get him. The Ravens let Lamar Jackson fall into their lap. Now the Bengals had the first overall pick, so that's, you know, the other way you can go, where – you know, sometimes there's a player really special atop the draft, and you have to have the first pick in the right year to be in position to take that guy. So, you know, there are different ways to look at it, but I'd say generally the answer is usually, like, probably not, you know, because, you know, you have to be bad the right year. You know, and Indianapolis is a good example of it. Like, they just happened to be bad in the two exact right years. And even then, you know, they couldn't build well enough to around Andrew Luck to make that work, you know. So there are a lot of factors that go into it, but, you know, clearly finding a way to get a great young quarterback is the fastest way to establish yourself as a great team. And I know a lot of fans out there think the best way to get a great young quarterback is to be bad.
Okay, so that was Breer yesterday. You can hear that full conversation on the Cap and Jay Hood feed on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Cap Jay Hood Tuesday, the second hour. Now, you and I as baseball fans know the quickest way for you to get to the World Series or to be able to be a perennial playoff team is tanking. Ask the Houston Astros.
Different sport, different way you do it. Because you can, in the NFL, there's no minor league system. You get X number of draft picks here or there to make a few trades, get a few more, and you have your cap room. In the major leagues, you get a pool of money. You can go over to Venezuela and sign 20 of those guys.
Yep.
And try and develop them, and one might turn into Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And you get more time.
That is correct.
When Theo rolled in here, he was clear. I don't care what Shea Norling thinks. It's going to take 4 or 5 years to get this turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. It did.
So Shea, we know that in baseball, you can be able to tank. Caps Cubbies were able to do that. The Sox World Series championship came out of nowhere. That was not a tank job. It was just a team that just came together.
They're rebuilt now from a tank job, though.
Yes. Oh, no question. You had to go through and you had to endure the Ventura years. God.
Right.
To be able to get to where you are right now.
The Astros, total tank job.
But what about the NFL, Cap? What about the NFL? And let's talk about the NBA as well. Same situation, right? We know the teams that are bad. Sacramento's always in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Teams like that. Always in
Detroit.
The lottery. Detroit, always in the lottery. Because they feel like they can build onto something. But the bad organizations, the ones that are not all in financially, those that are poor talent evaluators, can never get over the hump. You can have young talent, but once they're good, they're out.
Correct.
It's like, I don't want to be part of this because you're not building toward anything.
Correct.
But what about the NFL? The Bears are doing this on purpose. And we know the Texans are doing it on purpose because more than likely they won't win another game. So, the Bears are going this route. Will this be a successful route? Because this does not happen in the NFL. You can try. Does this mean a Super Bowl? That's my question. This is the lane that they picked.
It depends who's in that draft that year.
You got your quarterback settled. Now what?
Like, go back to the 2017 draft. If the Bears had tried to tank, they were just a bad team that year. They had tried. They got the pick of the quarterback litter. They got the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
They took Mitch, and they left Mahomes sitting on the board.
Yes.
That's more than tanking.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns needed a quarterback. They didn't have Baker Mayfield then. They were picking one and like four or five. They could have had Patrick Mahomes with either one of those picks.
Mm-hmm.
They effed it up.
So what do the Bears covet? Like, in the NBA, everyone wants Wembanyama, right?
Yes, Victor Wembanyama. He's 7'4", and he's insanely good.
They want him. Now, the Bears have their quarterback cap. So now, like, you are tanking, and they pick the lane, and I know we say this a million times, but for some, they don't get it. That the reason why you don't have Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks and all these guys is because they said, let's clear the decks. Let's get cap space. Let's get draft picks and reimagine the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. Let's do this over.
It's a great word for it. But, reimagine.
But cap, it's not for the quarterback. Usually you clear the decks for, man, that we need that pick. We need to lose out so we can get that guy. But what about the Bears? And if they're going to do this, does this mean they're going to win? It works better in baseball because it's, as you mentioned, you laid out the fact that it works better in baseball. But what about the NFL? Where's the proof that, that tanking works in the NFL?
There is no proof. That's my argument with Shea, where he thinks you could turn this thing around in a year, and I don't.
Well, that's where the Bears are going, Shea. So now what?
Well, once again, I never said you can turn it around in a year. I said you can move forward more than you're giving credit in a year.
Do you bring a construction crew in to move the goalposts every segment?
Oh,
you
not,
said in our meeting
the
they could win.
Talking about moving. I was just going to add, if you'd let me finish the point, I was just going to add 8, 9, 10 wins, you move forward. I think that the Bears can do
that. That's turning it around.
I have a rule in the draft, okay? Ready?
Yes.
If you're picking in the top three, you better take a quarterback. If you have a quarterback, you shouldn't be picking in the top three. So if you have a top three pick and you have a quarterback, trade it. Get more plug-in starters. That's how you go forward.
That was the other thing. How many calls did we take? And he just said it and couldn't disagree with him more. Again, if you have a quarterback, you shouldn't be picking in the top three. We have a quarterback, and we're going to pick in the top three. How many calls did we get all summer? Cap, you're out of your mind. If Justin is the guy, you can't be 3-14. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can, and you can see it.
And you're finding out now Justin is the guy, mm-hmm. and you're going to be 4-13, 3-14.
I'll admit I was wrong on that. But again, I'm saying if you have a quarterback in place, you don't pick in the top three. And what I mean by that is the Bears can't use that pick in the top three. Trade out of it, get more picks down the line, and plug in starters. That's how you move forward. If you're picking in the top three, it has to be a quarterback. If you're going to move out, if you have the quarterback and you have a top three pick, move out of it and plug starters.
See, that's Shea's solution in a season in which you're tanking. He says you're top three, so just trade straight out of that pick. People are going to value, maybe the Bears will be number two. They'll value that number two pick and you get more.
There were a lot of people that said the Bengals should trade out of that pick. They went, no, Ja'Marr Chase is that special. We're taking him. And now they've got this dynamic combo of Burrow and Chase. What if there's a guy sitting there at pick two and Ryan Poles says Ryan Pace screwed those picks up. I'm taking that guy at two. He's that special.
Yeah. I mean, that'd probably be a defensive starter, someone on the line.
Remember when the Bears had had a really high pick and they traded down so they could get Rex Grossman and Michael Haynes.
Who was terrible?
Both were terrible.
Yeah.
So trading down is not automatically the panacea for all that ails you.
But by the way, Ja'Marr Chase was pick five.
Oh, five.
So,
whatever.
So what is the panacea, though, in the NFL? Because, again, you heard what Breer said. Breer said, yeah, if you want to get the quarterback that you covet, yes, you do this. But the Bears have picked this lane of tanking, and I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not against what the Bears are doing. I just want to see the results. Is that fair?
Very fair.
Just want to see the result. And this is why in Shot or No Shot, the question was, what was it, Shea, about the NFC North? You asked in Shot or No Shot about
the Bears have the brightest future in the NFC North?
I don't know that.
They have one first-round pick that they made on their roster. One. That's a problem, man. You don't fix that in 1 year. You don't.
The Bears are tanking, and I know a lot of our calls, a lot of people from Cap and J-Hood Nation say, well, just lose out, get that pick. Okay, so then what? Are you sure that tanking in the NFL or for the Bears will work? Think about it. Give us a call. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Taking your phone calls on tanking and the Bears next on Cap and J-Hood.